Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another daily devotion. It's great to be able to pause for 15 minutes and open up God's Word. Well, I hope you've been having a really great day. It's wonderful to be able to turn to the Lord's Word once more. We're turning back to the book of Revelation. If it's your first time tuning in with us, we've just been working our way through the New Testament and we're up to Revelation chapter 6. So if you've got your Bibles, grab them and I'll pray. Father in heaven, we do thank you for your word. And we pray that as we turn to it now, that you would give us hearts to understand what you have to say, and that we would believe and come to know you more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Revelation chapter 6, verse 12 to 17, the last, or the sixth, I should say, seal, the last seal of the chapter. When he opened the sixth seal, I looked, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth. The full moon became like blood, and the stars of the sky fell to the earth as the fig tree sheds its winter fruit when shaken by a gale. The sky vanished like a scroll that is being rolled up, and every mountain and island was removed from its place. Then the kings of the earth and the great ones and the generals and the rich and the powerful and everyone, slave and free, hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains, calling to the mountains and rocks, "Fall on us and hide us. Hide us from the face of him who is seated on the throne. And from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of their wrath has come. And who can stand?" And who can stand indeed? Well, yesterday we looked at the suffering church. If you were with us yesterday, we saw that there's a reality in which the church is suffering, and there are saints, and there are people, and they're dealing with the consequence of sin, and they're walking out their days, and the church is marching forwards. And there was this question that the church cried out. If you weren't here yesterday, have a look back at verse 10. The church said, "How long before you will judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell upon the earth?" And this seal is kind of like not the answer to that question, but it's the response to that question. So that question received the answer of "not yet, you need to wait." But then instantly, John sees the Lamb rip open the sixth seal, and we get to see what the reality of that day will be like, what it will be like when that question finally does get fulfilled. That question, "How long, O Lord? How long till your judgment comes?" And I think there's a sense in which the response to the church is, "Your suffering will not last forever." And sometimes that's all the church gets, and that's all the church has to hold on to, is that this will not last forever. And some of us, we really need to hear that because we're suffering quite badly. Some of us, we're not suffering very badly and we don't need to hear that. But isn't it true that particularly in places of suffering, believers, what they desperately need to know is that this is not forever. Though this is your present experience, it will not be like this forever. A day of judgment will come. A day of accounting will come one day. And so the number of the slain is now complete, and so the terrible day of judgment begins. And what a crazy, crazy day it is. And did you notice that the judgment is portrayed as being almost like a full reversal, like a complete flip of everything that you would expect to be happening in the world? You know, if you think about the things that are always the same in the world, you think about things like the fact that the sun always gets up in the morning and looks exactly the same. that when you stand upon the earth, it's firm, that mountains stand tall and islands don't disappear, that every night when you walk outside, the stars are in the sky and the moon is shining its beautiful pale color. And those things are always there and they're always the same and they always will be. And that's the message of the world, isn't it? The things of this world will just continue on the same as always. It's never going to change. It's just going to be one day after another day after another day. So live today while you can and enjoy it. Enjoy now, because now is just going to keep happening. But oh, what a shock it must have been for the people in the vision, when those things which they always counted on started to reverse. Have a look at the way it's pictured. There's a great earthquake. So the thing which you trust, you know, you think about it, you get up in the morning, you put your feet on the ground, you trust the ground is going to be firm, aren't you? And yet there's an earthquake. I don't know if you've ever been in an earthquake, but it is a bizarre reality. We had one in Rotorua, the town I used to live in, and I can remember just how incredibly unsteady everything was. I don't mean things were falling over, but you just felt so unsure. The ground almost feels like liquid. It's the bizarrest feeling. And you see things swaying, and very quickly the bravest of people will begin to quake in their boots. But so the ground shakes, and the sun goes from its glorious yellow color to black. The sun became black as sackcloth. And the opposite effect happened on the moon. The moon, which normally shines, goes blood red. Now, don't imagine, you know, sometimes we'll get a red moon, a blood moon they talk about. It's not like that. It's like a burning blood red. The stars of the sky begin to fall to the earth. And could you just imagine what you would think if you looked out and you didn't just see one shooting star, but you saw every single star shooting towards earth? They fall out of the sky like fruit out of a tree. The sky just vanishes. The sky just vanishes. Now, if there's anything you're sure of, it's the sky, isn't it? The sky's always there. You can't do anything to it. You can't grab it and move it. It doesn't change. The sky's just the sky. And yet the sky vanishes like a scroll. And then the mountains and islands are removed. I mean, you think about these firm, massive mountains. Now, in New Zealand, we took Mount Cook as our biggest mountain. And, you know, you think about mountains like Everest. And you just imagine if one day, you know, they went to go on their expedition up Mount Everest, and they walked out of their tent and they looked up and the mountain was just gone, just vanished in thin air. Be a terrifying reality, wouldn't it? You see, what is portrayed is the things that the people put their trust in, that they said were sure, the things that the world holds too firmly vanish from before them. They lose all of the things which they rest upon as always being there. And instead, there's only one reality before them. They can no longer look to the mountains. They can no longer look to the sun. They can no longer look to the moon. They can no longer look to the islands. They can no longer look to the places where they conducted their idolatry. But instead, all they can see is the face of God, the face of He who sits upon the throne and the Lamb. You see, every obstruction has been peeled away, and they are face to face with the living God, and they're terrified. What do? They flee. They hide. Hide us, hide us. And it's not just the lowly people. It's not only the exalted people. It's everyone. Every single person who isn't a part of that suffering church is crying out with terror to the mountains, to the rocks, to anything left over, fall on us and hide us from the wrath of the Lamb and the face of the one sitting upon the throne. You know, it's interesting, isn't it? Because up till now, the people, they've ignored the Lamb, haven't they? The Lamb's been there. The Lamb's been offered. The church has heralded her. The church has proclaimed the goodness of God. The church has emphatically summoned the world to come to the King of Kings. And yet they've ignored the church. They've persecuted the church. They've hated the church. And now, he whom they ignored, they are confronted with. And there's no more running. There's no more hiding. There's just one terrifying question. Verse 17. Who can stand? The great day of judgment, the great day of their wrath has come, and who can stand? It's a terrifying reality, isn't it? You know, for all of the modern Christians who want to portray Jesus as meek and mild only, and God as loving only, they want to remove the wrath, remove the judgment, yet here he is in his awesome splendor. And the only response anyone could make is, who can stand? Who can stand? You know, and this gives us really three implications. There are three implications that come from this reality. Firstly, there's that deep challenge that comes to each and every one of us, which is, will I say, hide me? At the day of the wrath of the Lamb, will my response be, hide me from the wrath of the Lamb? Hide me from judgment? Hide me from him? Will I be terrified of him who has come in the name of the Lord? And so there's a challenge there for you and I. Have I accepted Christ? Have I believed in him? But then there's another implication, which is, if I have, let me just assume it's true of you, that you have come to Christ and you have believed in him, and you won't say, hide me. Well, the challenge that comes from that is, what am I doing to save other people from ending up there? Like, that's a huge implication, isn't it? If we know this, since we know this is true, with what zeal and compassion and ardor and fervor should we be going out and warning people? Shouldn't we be going to everyone we know and saying, hey, the wrath of the Lamb is coming. A day of judgment is coming. Now, it's not that that's the only thing we're going to do. We've still got jobs to live. But our lives should be shaped by this zeal to save anyone else from facing that day. And then lastly, thirdly, this passage should bring us comfort. You think, what kind of comfort comes from this passage? Well, we should find comfort in the fact that just for like the persecuted church, here, as it's mentioned, we as a part of the persecuted church, as a part of the slain people of God, we too can find comfort in knowing that this is not all there is, that there will be a day of judgment. One day, the judge will return. We don't have comfort here and now in the sense of a final removal of our concerns. We have comfort in the hope that one day God will remove the suffering. Now, for some of you, that's a physical reality in your bodies. You suffer under the effects of a fallen and cursed world, and you just long for the day of redemption where you will put that off. And for some of you, it's putting up with and dealing with the attacks of the enemy. Some of you, it's putting up with the attacks of a sinful heart and a sinful flesh. But all of us can have this comfort that one day Jesus Christ is going to take it all away. One day before the wrath of the Lamb, our sin, our persecution, our labors will be done away with, and we'll never wrestle with them again. The day of judgment is a strange thing because it's a terrifying thing, but only for those who aren't in Christ. For those who are in Christ, in a strange way, it's a great comfort and it's a great motivator. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We pray that you would give us hearts to accept it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thanks so much for tuning in with me again from all the way over here from New Zealand and joining us for another daily devotion. I hope you have a really wonderful afternoon. I will look forward to seeing you back here tomorrow for our last daily devotion of the week. And I hope you have a most blessed evening. See you tomorrow.